Good morning, this is Peter Maloney, Platts Global Power Report. I'm here in Las Vegas at the 23rd Annual Global Power Markets Conference, and I'm pleased to have with me Ted Craver, who's the president of Edison International and soon to be CEO of Edison International. So we were talking this morning about what we call the baseload gap, the fact that a lot of coal plants are being canceled, and there's a need for new baseload power that needs to be built, and it's not going to be built using coal. Nuclear power is 10 years off, perhaps. So what are we going to do in the meantime? How are we going to meet that demand?
Well, this is something we've been concerned about for some time. And as we look at it, you either need some sort of relief on the demand side or you need some relief on the supply side to overcome what appears to be a pretty significant imbalance or reserve margin shortage. As we see it, there will be some important strides made on the energy efficiency and the demand side management, so kind of pushing some peak demand into off-peak areas. But we're hard-pressed to see in the next 5 to 10 years enough of that taking place to really bend the demand curve down. Probably the best that we think you can hope for in that context is a leveling of the demand. On the supply side, as we look at that, the greatest concern we have is really with the coal fleet. A little over 50% of the megawatt hours that are produced comes from coal in the United States, and in most of the major markets, give or take a few percentage points, it's the same type of mix. Just with the mercury, NOx, and SOx limitations embedded in the CARE and CAMR rules, which are going into effect over the next few years here, and that alone, we believe, is going to cause many, if not most, of the small coal units, the 200 megawatt and under coal units, to come offline. Again, I'm talking about in the next 5 to 10 year type frame. There are different numbers on this, and it really varies a little bit by region, but as it happens, most of the smaller coal units are also the older coal units, and so they're very inefficient and probably pretty well past their useful life in most cases. But something around 20%, a little over 20% actually, of the capacity in the coal fleet is made up of capacity from these 200 megawatt and under units. So that's the piece that we see as the most critical. If units of that size come off in a significant way, that's just too big a hit to the supply of electricity. So you then say, well, what could replace that? Well, certainly we'll have additional wind, but that tends to be a little more off-peak than on-peak. Solar, it's still a little young, again, in this next 5 to 10 year time frame. I don't think we could expect a huge amount of relief on the renewables to pick up the slack for the lost coal production. Nuclear, I think, is difficult to come online, as you said, for something less than 10 years out. And certainly new coal with carbon capture and sequestration is in that same kind of 10-year out type time frame or more. So that's the squeeze play, and it seems the only real way to fill that gap is going to be with CCGT reliance, which in turn we worry is going to put pressure on the price of gas. So that's the supply-demand imbalance pressure that we're pretty concerned about.
So it's not just filling what we call the baseload gap. That baseload gap now, as we look at it, might even decline a little bit if the Clean Air Act forces these plants to come offline.
I know in our case, we had three units, one that was about 100 megawatts and two that are about 150 megawatts each, that we concluded even with extremely high and sustained natural gas prices wouldn't be competitive in the PJM market. So as part of the Illinois settlement agreement, we agreed to shut those down. One we've already shut down, the 100 megawatt unit. I did that at the end of last year, and the other two units will come offline in 2010. I think you'll see others that are doing the same types of things or will be facing the same types of economics over the next 3 to 5 years.
When you made that decision in Illinois, were you factoring in the prospects of mercury and
It was mostly the cost of scrubbers. The mercury controls, the capital cost of the mercury controls, this activated carbon injection, really isn't too difficult. But the ongoing operating cost for mercury controls is a little bit more of the issue. SCRs for control of NOx are also certainly expensive, but it's really it's the sulfur dioxide controls, the FGDs or scrubbers. Those are the expensive pieces, and being able to put that on a small unit just doesn't pay.
So are you going to have scrubbers on all your coal plants then?
Yes, basically. In the settlement agreement that we that came to agreement with Illinois EPA and is now embedded within the CARE and CAMA rules that came out of Illinois, those are really stretching out through 2018. But yes, over the course of basically the next 10 years, our units will all have mercury controls that will actually go in by July of this year for a number of the in-city plants, and by July of next year for all the rest of our plants. We'll have several SCRs that will be put in place by 2011, and then the scrubbers will go online from 2012 out to 2018 for the rest of the plants.
Do you foresee that some of the plants, or the smaller coal plants that are shut down, could those be converted to burn gas?
They could, and I think we have closed some peaking plants in previous years. Those are all gas-fired, but pretty high heat rate, and those would probably be the first sites that we would look to convert to natural gas. But yes, some of the brownfield sites that are currently coal sites could be also used for gas. I think that's probably a longer-term prospect, but indeed, those are good opportunities.
Yeah, if you're looking at building gas, you know, combined cycle gas turbines, what are your concerns about gas prices if everyone else is thinking along similar lines?
And there's no free lunch, as the saying goes in this. I think the pressures will be pretty strong on the gas side. So certainly if we were to build a gas-fired plant on a merchant basis, that would really be a significant step and a significant risk undertaking. If the economics are right, that's the type of thing we do. We've actually just recently been awarded a 10-year contract in California to build a gas-fired peaker, and that'll be a 500-megawatt unit. So that's obviously 10 years worth of contract. That's not a life of plant contract, so it'll have both a PPA period and then a merchant period.